Hello, darlings. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you're listening to the Deeply Dapper Dispatches with Chris and Devin.
Bullshit artist!
The Amulet of the Arg.
Greetings, pod people. It is April 21st, 2017, and this is the Podcasket.
Hey, it's Robert Smith's birthday. Happy birthday, Robert Smith.
Happy birthday! Or, that's probably not quite the way to say it to him, huh?
Happy birthday.
Wow. That works. We need some synth or something, but...
I always need synth.
So, we are back for a moment, anyway, in time.
Ding.
We've got all sorts of weird... Ursa.
Dog noises.
Seriously, what the fuck? We don't need creepy animal heavy breathing.
I think it would be really appropriate for this episode.
It honestly would. Yeah, true that. So what did we watch tonight, Devin?
We watched The Greasy Strangler.
We have that, and I think we'll discuss the first few episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Okay, that's fair.
And a little bit of news.
Yay! Nudes!
Nudes! But first, let's get the drink check out of the way here.
Yeah, I need to lubricate my throat.
Drink! Good! Good!
I need you to fuck. Open my bettle.
I'll open something. Ooh, yeah, I think you're going to have fun. This one's 8.5.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
What's it say under the lid? Brewed for us. I want it to be brewed for me, you bastards.
Well, I mean, it's right there on the label.
Founders Dirty Bastard Scotch-Style Ale. Devin picked out our beers. He picked out one he thought I would like, and one he's pretty sure I'm not going to like.
I also picked one that, for him, I'm sure I'm not going to like, and yeah, so.
And
it works. It does.
And they're both appropriate for the Greasy Strangler.
Yes.
Mine is the Dirty Bastard Ale, and what is yours?
I picked up the Woodland Empire, which is out of Boise, oh. Big Sticky, and it's a red IPA.
IPA. Which, I have had, like, one IPA I like, but the hops, I don't like that bitterness in there.
Well, you know, IPAs come in all shades of the rainbow. They're
like
not
red.
Always, like, Pacific Northwest punching the
but
face.
But aren't
out
they always
hops.
Pale?
No, you can actually get black IPAs.
What?
Which are really good.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does.
How can it be black and pale at the same time?
It's not pale.
Isn't it India Pale Ale?
Yeah.
Madness, I say.
Ooh. Haven't you ever seen Blackula? There's such a thing as pale black people.
Fair point. My beer says it's so good it's almost wrong. Dark ruby in color and brewed with 7 varieties of imported malts, complex in finish with hints of smoke and pelt.
And pelt?
Pete!
Oh,
that
God.
That makes way more sense.
Whew.
It's dark. I turned off the light directly overhead, and so it's dark. paired with a malty richness and a right hook of hop power to give it the bad attitude that a beer named Dirty Bastard has to live up to. Ain't for the wee lads.
Oh, who writes this garbage?
Ain't me, lad. I'm out of Grand Rapids, Michigan this week.
Sweet. Well, take a drink. Tell me what you think.
I like the smell. It's really chocolatey smelling.
Oh, really?
Mmm.
All right, gimme.
Mmm, it's nice. I like it. I think it's chocolatey.
That's actually not bad.
It's not. I like it. So you're not a fan of the Scotch ale?
Man, it's really a mixed bag for me. I've had Scotch ales I've really liked, and I've had ones that have just made me... gag.
Hmm. Interesting.
The one that's really popular around here is out of Idaho Falls, and I can't stand it.
Hmm. Which one is that?
I'm trying to remember.
Shoot him down.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, I don't drink it, so I don't think about it enough.
This is not bad.
But yeah, Scotch ales tend to be a little overly sweet for me.
I can see that. Yeah. It is a little sweet. This one's got a little bit of that hopsiness to it, but not in like a punch in the face way.
Oh. Yeah. And it's surprisingly smooth for being, what, 6.5?
8.5.
8.5.
8.5. It's actually really smooth.
You're going to have a great night. Mine's only 6.5.
Yeah, but you're one up on the beers on me, too. Didn't you have two during the movie?
I did.
So, there you go. And probably three or four before you came over.
No. No. You know, I thought about having some whiskey, and I went for a walk instead.
What?
I know.
You wilderness man. So just because you wanted to get out of the house?
Well.
Because it's nice outside. Because it's not
really
winter.
Nice. Yeah. And it was like a brief moment of sunshine through the clouds before it started raining again. So.
Yeah, that was so funny. Like, we had a little bit of a flood in the basement today because our... some sort of pipe split or something, and it only drips when we're running the sprinkler, and it was nice enough out, we threw some weed killer down and was running the sprinkler for that, and was, my English is good. Mm-hmm. I'm podcaster, dude. And so we had to, like, move everything out, and we laid it all out to dry out, and then it started sprinkling, and I'm like, oh, shit, we gotta bring everything back inside now. But anyway, drink your beer.
Well, let's see. So
read your beer first.
It describes it as dank, resinous, sweet, sticky, juicy, fruity, resinous, again, bitter.
What?
Yeah. This deliciously drinkable IRA, in India, red ale.
Oh, instead of pale. Yeah, see, that's how you get around it.
Not Irish Republican Army. was brewed to showcase these lovable attributes of Northwest-grown hops while maintaining a maltiness, Jesus Christ, that only further emphasizes the sticky goodness of lupulin. We created this hop monster for those who like them big and sticky.
Well, that's appropriate for the Greasy Stranger, without question.
I really like that they list all of the malt and all of the hops that go in this. Hmm. That's really cool.
And you said this one's out of Boise?
Yeah. It's not that hoppy, actually. It's only got 60 IBUs, so it's... You might like it. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if I'll like it.
Mine has 50, so it's just barely more than mine.
This will be too hoppy for you.
I don't think it's so much the amount of hops in the beer as how much of the malt overwhelms the hops for me.
No, possibly. No, you like malt.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, this is like drinking a weed.
So that's what I like about hops. It's very herbal.
It's well, I mean, it's floral. Interesting. And I find that I think I like hopsier beers in the summertime more.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you.
But then I tend towards a sour or something like that instead. Because sours are awesome. They're just hard to find good ones.
That more and more. Like, yeah. How many did I bring over? Like four?
Three or four, yeah. So. Yeah. That's definitely a Devon beer.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad, though.
That's a crisp beer, so I think I chose well.
Yes, I think so. Good show, sir.
Huzzah!
Should we move on to the news with This Just In?
Yeah, I'm excited for the news. We didn't have any last time.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
I don't think we've had news for quite a while.
I know.
Part of it was I've just been slacking on prep. Most of the time, I don't even know what date it is when we're recording, because I'm just like, but I had a little bit of time today. First off, have you seen the new Thor trailer?
Yes.
What did you think?
I'm into it.
I am, too. It's so Kirby-esque. I love it.
Yeah.
And the colors are so fucking fun. And
the only thing I'm not in love with is how Cate Blanchett looks.
I think she looks great, but she doesn't look like Cate Blanchett. It's weird.
Oh, no, yeah, I didn't recognize her at first. I'm like, she's this emo chick.
Yeah, like when did they get Avril Lavigne as their... Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. Yeah, something about the weepy day after eyeliner.
She looks gorgeous, though.
No, she's beautiful. I just,
And there's that shot of her with her full helm on.
Yes, that looks rad. That's fucking amazing.
Love that.
Yep.
I totally love Thor's war helmet that he has with the wings that pop down.
Flip down.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. I think it looks really fun.
I enjoy the fact that he has long hair for at least part of the movie because I don't like his haircut.
Yeah, his haircut's silly. It doesn't really make any sense why they did it, but
I'm sure there'll be an explanation.
Stop it.
I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, he looks good.
Yeah.
But for Thor has always had that long hair.
And he looks really good with it.
He does look good with it. Not many people can pull off the long blonde hair, but I suppose when you
he looks like a motherfucking Viking.
Yeah, yes, he does. Yes, he's probably fucked many a mother as a Viking.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think he has children, so.
If I remember right, he's got, like, a super adorable wife, and they're, like, ridiculously, like, adorably cute. Like, him and Hugh Jackman and his wife, I love those two. They're so cute. Because she's, like, not a Hollywood wife at all, which I think is awesome. Mm. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous here on the Podcasket.
Now featuring Robin Leach.
So speaking of other things coming out that I wasn't sure about until I looked into it a little more, I sent you a link to this show coming out on Sci-Fi called Blood Drive.
I didn't watch any of the things because I was at work.
You didn't?
No, I just read about it.
You should watch
totally into it.
A couple of these little trailers real
quick.
Okay,
yeah.
They look fun as fuck, I have to say. And I have to say, whoever's running their Twitter account, I love them. Because I tweeted out, just smart-assedly, I said, what did I say? I said, well, Blood Drive is either going to be amazing, utter schlock, or both. I'll be watching. And they responded with, utter schlock is always amazing. Make a mistake like that again, and we'll be refueling our car with a gallon of Chris. That's great. I like these guys.
Yup.
But yeah, let's watch a couple of these trailers here.
They're 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope that's a sample of the soundtrack.
I do too. And then this one is the other one I've watched.
Leave it to Cleaver.
Somebody's been missing you all day.
Beautiful.
Sweetheart, would you mind putting the baby in the garbage disposal, please? How else are we going to fuel the house?
It looks amazing.
Yes.
So Blood Drive comes out in June on Sci-Fi, and it is their new series of Grindhouse-inspired series. It premieres on June 14th, and it looks amazing.
I'm in. I am 100% in.
Yeah.
And that's surprising, considering that Sci-Fi hasn't done, fucking anything that I've cared about in a decade or more.
Yeah, I mean, like, Lindsay and I watch Face Off because it's fun to watch.
Oh, is
and,
that Sci-Fi?
Yeah, that's Sci-Fi.
Okay, all right. Well, there's that.
And I really like The Expanse. It's shockingly good for hard sci-fi.
I've not actually seen any of it.
I would not have watched it if Tom hadn't said, hey, you need to watch The Expanse. It's good. Because all the promos I've seen for it, aside from the fact that Tom Jane is in it, and I like Tom Jane, mm-hmm. I was like, meh, it's not for me. But it's, like, really solid, hard sci-fi. And you don't get that anymore.
Sweet.
So it's really good. But yeah, beyond that, it's like, they changed their name to Siffy.
Yeah, which really irritates me.
And they started showing wrestling on it, and I'm just like, fuck it.
Yeah, like American Gladiators or whatever that was, and yeah.
Yeah, but this sounds really fucking fun.
And they continue to finance Sharknado movies.
Yeah, those I get a kick out of, actually. I think they're terrible, and I've not watched them, but I enjoy that somebody is financing those.
Oh, you need... Oh, my God.
I know. I know.
I saw the riff tracks of the first one.
Oh, did you?
In the theater.
Are they that bad?
It was so bad that the riff tracks didn't help. I still had a terrible time.
Are they bad because they know they're bad, and so they're and that's why they're not good?
Yeah, there's no earnestness.
That sucks. Like,
trying to be the worst thing that it could possibly be.
Okay, fuck that then.
Yeah.
That's annoying because, like, their names are stupid, but they, like, Lavalantula makes me laugh.
Yeah,
but sure. Yeah, if they know they're bad and they're going out of their way to be bad, it's not fun. So I get that.
Yeah,
fair enough. This looks good though.
This looks genuinely good.
Yeah, after Los Angeles' last good cop, Alan Richardson, is forced to join a twisted cross-country death race, his only hope of survival is a dangerous femme fatale who has the need for speed. Oh, and forget gasoline, these cars run on human blood, is their tagline.
I fucking love it. It's so Mad Max meets Death Race 2000.
It really is.
You had me at hello.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally down with this series. So we're going to have to check it out in June.
Would you mind putting the baby in the cover system?
Wasn't that funny? It's so great.
Oh, my God.
So there's been a little bit of news. It's been a while since we've done news, so this is a little older one. But they have put out a little bit of news about the sidequel to the Labyrinth movie that they're looking at doing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that at all? That it's being directed by the Don't Breathe guy.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Fede Alvarez.
Yeah.
Who did Don't Breathe, which I love, and the fucking Evil Dead remake, which I think is the worst thing ever.
It's so weird. Like, that...
And they feel very different.
And they don't feel labyrinthy at all.
Right, dude's done, what, two films that we've seen. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a labyrinth in him.
Right, absolutely.
Like, look at everything Frank Oz has done.
And I do like that they're not trying to make it a direct sequel.
Yeah, that would be a mistake.
It would be a huge mistake. Even if they eliminated the Goblin
thing. I don't know what they're going to fucking do with a sidequel, though.
The only thing I can hope is that it just kind of... It's a fantasy story that takes place in the Labyrinth universe.
I'd be okay with that.
I'm totally fine with them doing a dark fairy tale with puppets and little goblins.
Is Froud involved? Because he'd have to be.
They've not clarified that. Like, that's the first question for me, is if Froud isn't in it...
It can't take place in that universe if it's not Froud.
Right.
That's sort of like, you know, all of the Alien sequels.
Moving past that...
I can't.
Bonehill Road...
Yes.
Looks really fun.
It's really interesting. I'm going to have to pick up a VHS copy of it.
Yeah, it's a werewolf film with zero CGI.
It better come out, like, in a clamshell case. That's all I have to
say. I would assume probably not, just because clamshells are so much more expensive.
I don't think so, because there was that independent film, Almost Human, that came out. I don't know, 8 years ago.
74 years ago?
No, it's not that fucking old. But it came out in a clamshell, and so did, oh my God, I love this movie. The Ty West.
The House of the Devil, there we go, yeah.
That came out in...
Really?
In clamshell,
in 2009?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted...
Innkeepers was excellent, too. I
hate it at the end.
I didn't like the end either, but the rest of the movie was really good.
I really liked Ty West, and I look forward to seeing him do more things.
Yeah, he directed some of the Wayward Pines series, which I actually really enjoyed. Oh, shit, I didn't realize he did it in A Valley of Violence. That's supposed to be excellent. It's a Western with fucking John Travolta.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I saw the trailer for that. And when I saw Ty West's name, I'm like, I'm sold.
Yeah, I was until I saw John Travolta's name, and then I was like, oh, I'm slightly unsold. But I like him when he plays against type. Like, he plays a villain in this, but apparently he's not a scenery-chewing villain. And that's when I don't like Travolta as much, is when he just goes over the top, like in the fucking Punisher movie. That movie was a garbage fire, and he's so bad in it.
I did not think that movie was a garbage fire, but
He is a garbage fire in it, yes. Like, the rest of the movie, I didn't mind.
I really liked it.
Yeah, I think John Travolta was terrible in it. Like, if they'd recut all of those scenes to not have him in it, I would have really enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, better film. Agreed. Dolph Lundgren one's still my favorite. Because, of course, it is. Dolph or die, motherfuckers.
But anyway, Bonehill Road looks really fun. I'm not 100% sold on the werewolf design, but I like it.
I am sold on the werewolf
design. I think it looks really good. I think the face looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the features of the face. I haven't actually watched the trailer. Did you watch the trailer for it?
No.
I didn't either.
Fire it up.
Let's find it.
But you passed it.
Well, I think that's just like a promo.
Well.
Well, so far this is thrilling. Fine, bastard. My wife must be watching MSNBC upstairs. See what happens, Devin?
I'm sorry.
There we go.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. That's nice.
That's beautiful. Well, that's beautiful too. I know what that font is. Because I used it.
Of course you do. Stay out of the woods.
Keep to the road. Beware the moors. Beware the moon.
This might literally just be a text trailer.
Maybe. Probably before they actually filmed
yeah,
anything.
Yeah.
Or.
Ah.
It's probably just a makeup test, actually.
Ah!
But for a makeup test, I really dug it. Yeah, it's the Indiegogo promo, of course. It's
well.
Just...
There you go. So, but anyway, we want to know more about it. It was fully funded on Indiegogo, so it's getting made right now. It's in production. And like you said, it's going to come out on VHS,
yay!
Which is awesome.
It's not only coming out on VHS, is it? I mean,
no.
I'd be fine with that because fuck all y'all, but...
No, I am assuming, looking at it, so they made like $7,000. Out of their $2,500 that they're
looking
needed
for. 20, like, was the film fucking finished?
I don't know.
That's like no money.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. My only thought is maybe they did a previous goal, because Indiegogo lets you do multiple ones.
Oh, okay.
I
don't think I
can
make an entire film for $7,000.
But yeah, you can get the signed Blu-ray DVD for $50.
That's more than I've got.
The soundtrack is $18. The regular limited signed DVD is $20.
Okay. The DVD.
Yeah.
How much for the VHS?
I'm looking, okay, $28 plus shipping.
Sold!
So, and technically speaking, this is still going for another 18 days.
Sold!
So we may know more about this when Devin shows up with it in a year and a half when they finish everything.
Shame and tell.
Shame and tell, baby. Moving on. Edgar Wright might be doing a 6-foot praying mantis movie called Grasshopper Jungle, based off of a novel.
Okay.
I'm totally down with that. I know nothing about it, but I am totally okay with him doing a giant praying mantis movie.
Agreed. I can only imagine that he'll do a great job.
Yeah, I have questions about why it's called Grasshopper Jungle if it's about praying mantis. But whatevs.
Aw, my ex-roommate's going to be upset because he had an idea for a giant praying mantis movie.
There's always more room for giant praying mantis movies.
I agree, but I don't know if Hollywood does.
Ah, fuck Hollywood.
Yeah, that's fair.
Friday the 13th, the game! Finally has a release date.
Yay!
I'm excited about that because I don't get advanced shit like you do. I have to buy it, you motherfucker.
Yeah, I get Kickstarter.
So, yeah, I have to buy it on May 26th when it comes out. Which
it
means...
will already be on my computer by the time I get home.
Yeah, I know. I know. Fuck you. No. But that means you get to tell us how it is and tell me whether it's worth buying a PS4 to buy so that I can play it.
Well, I already played the demo.
Yeah, the demo's not the same.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So if you aren't Devin or all the thousands of other people that pledged on this, you can get your copy on May 26th, and it's like $40, which is pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that's way less than...
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
Yes. Yes,
tell us about this, Devin.
So, Arrow, who are probably my favorite distribution company, is that the correct
term? I think that's
yeah.
The correct term. All
right.
Yeah.
So, they have repackaged and are about to re-release Re-Animator, the very first, the one and only. And it looks beautiful on Blu-ray.
Oh, my God, it looks good.
Oh, wow, like the art is phenomenal. Their art is always phenomenal. Their packaging is always really well done. You always really get what you pay for with Arrow.
Yeah. Yeah, the packaging is gorgeous on it. I love the coloring and...
They're kind of everything Scream Factory wants to be. I love Scream Factory. I spend so much money with them.
Factory does a wonderful job with the discs. They do a half-assed job with the packaging, usually.
Agreed. And I feel like Arrow just goes that extra mile. They are the Criterion Collection of horror.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. And I love this. It comes with a comic book adaptation of Reanimator reprinted.
Which I'm not excited about, but it's a thing.
It's everything, though. Yeah, I like that it comes with all of it.
As opposed to my DVD release, which, you know, came with a highlighter.
Yeah, and I fucking bought that Blu-ray for like $7, so it's got jacket shit on it. So, yeah, and it's got the unrated version and the integral version. Which also comes with a guide to Lovecraftian cinema.
That's cool.
It's got Barbara Crampton interview, who I will watch do absolutely anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
All sorts of interviews, a couple of documentaries and commentaries.
A couple of things with Richard Band, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Richard Band's score for this film is such an important piece.
It's kind of underrated, too.
It is. Well, you know, he's kind of a schlocky me composer. Like, he's very distinctive, and I can pick him out. But the score he did for Reanimator is, like, above and beyond his normal work. It's fucking great.
Yeah, it's very different from a lot of his other stuff,
I get
too.
Chills. Like, chills of joy every time I hear the...
Yeah, so this looks great. Like you said, the comic book thing's not super exciting to me, but everything else about it looks so good. I love the art on it.
At least the internal booklet has the original cover art with no text over it, which that's great.
Yeah, that is really cool. That's like frameable right there, actually.
Yeah, really.
So that comes out in July 25th. You can pick up your copy, or I assume you'll probably want to order it ahead of time from Arrow.
From Diabolik DVD.
Diabolik, okay.
If you get it from Arrow, that's the UK distribution. That's the mistake I made with the Hellraiser box set, so I have that Region 2 box set that I just can't do anything with.
You had to buy a Universal Player for it?
Yeah, well, you know, I just bought the USA one, too. It's fine.
Moving on, there was a tease coming out about Guardians of the Galaxy showing Nathan Fillion in a weird outfit in the driver's seat of a spaceship.
Is it a brown coat? And is it the...
No, he looks like a weird caveman-type space thing.
I have no problems with this whatsoever.
But it turns out he was just visiting the set and decided to put on a funny costume and take a picture, unfortunately. But it... did
Mr. Gunn shoot some pickups and shoot some pickups now.
Right? Right. Yeah, and Gunn is like, I'd love to have him as Wonder Man in a film or something, but this was just him screwing around.
He'd be great as Wonder Man.
Wouldn't he be hilarious? I'd love him. He's got that ego for him.
He could pull it off. He'd be great.
So that's, if any of you have seen that but not seen the update that he's not actually in it, that's what the story is there. I'll post that in our time notes on
Deeply
Dapper.
That's a beautiful photo.
Isn't it great?
If I can bring myself to take off the David Bowie background on my computer, I might put that as my background.
Oh, that is a great background shot. You're right. The most recent news I have, I think, besides maybe the Reanimator release, is that the X-Files...
I'm not sorry. I'll do it every time.
Officially confirmed that there's going to be another 10 episodes for season 11, I think?
Yeah, I think you're
right. Or 12?
Right.
Something like that. Anyway, new.
At least with 10 episodes, they can do more than they could with the
8 or 6 or whatever it was.
I think it was 6.
Yeah, I don't know. I blocked out all but 2 episodes of the
last because
one,
only 2 of them were any good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe if nothing else, they'll have, you know, again, 4 episodes of complete shit. And we'll get 6 episodes of great. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, really, the further away they can keep Carpenter from it, the better. Chris Carter. Not Carpenter. Yeah. You know, John Carpenter's a terrible X-Files producer.
Man, I would pay solid money for a John Carpenter X-Files
episode.
Wouldn't
that be bizarre?
That'd be great.
Oh, I'd love it, actually.
Dude, yeah. If it turned out half as good as either of his Masters of Horror
episodes,
it would be high fucking art.
But anyway, it sounds like most of the cast has officially confirmed. They haven't announced any writers or directors yet. So.
Oh, so they haven't even started filming.
I see, that's what I don't understand, because it's slated for 2017-18 release.
Giddy up, pony.
So I'm assuming they've already started filming, but I haven't seen anything that's actually confirmed that they're filming.
Well, didn't Gillian Anderson just tweet David Duchovny saying, "Are you ready for this?"
Yeah, and that was an old photo, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I mean, she's been doing promo stuff for American Gods all over the place.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, maybe it doesn't take that long to film 10 episodes these days.
I could not be less excited for American Gods.
Really?
I feel so bad about it.
See, I have no feelings about the book. I don't care about the book one way or the other. I like the concept of the book.
I do too.
I couldn't get into it at all.
It should have been a William Gibson book, because he actually could have pulled it off. I think Neil Gaiman just dropped
it. Have you seen
the
trailer for it?
No, every time I see it start up, I'm just like, I don't care, and scroll past.
But the cast is so good.
The cast is great.
And it's fucking Brian Fuller.
And it's Brian Fuller. No, you're totally right. And
Devin, you should love this movie.
I'll probably eat my words, but right now I cannot bring myself to give two fucks.
How weird.
I know. I don't know.
It's
probably just
stressed out.
Apparently
got all sorts of violence in it. That's
like
super
those.
Over the top.
Yeah.
It's right. Got Ian McShane.
Yeah. I'm not
Kristen
as
Chenoweth.
With him as you are.
Well, that's because you haven't seen anything with Ian McShane in it, have you?
That's not true. Is that true? Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter.
You haven't seen Deadwood.
No.
You haven't seen American Horror Story.
No.
You haven't seen other things that he's in.
Mm.
I know he's been in other stuff I've seen, but I don't know what.
Oh, right. I always confuse him with Michael Shannon.
Oh, see, Michael Shannon's like a poor man's younger version of Ian McShane.
Well, I like Michael Shannon, but
I do like him, but yeah, Ian McShane, I would have sworn you'd seen him in something. I mean, he was in like a couple of the Pirates movies.
I think we've had this conversation on
he's in Game of Thrones
this before.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway.
He's in literally nothing I want to see.
So, American Gods, you're wrong about it, but...
Yeah, no, that's fine.
You know, you might be right, eventually.
I probably am.
He was in Coraline. He was the acrobat in Coraline.
Great, I've seen that.
Fucking fuck. Anyway. That's the last of my news. We do have...
No more nudes.
A couple of things coming out that I want to give a shout-out to. Number one, they're putting out a 15-inch trick-or-treat doll
I
from
heard
Mezco.
About this! Oh, my God! I don't know if I can afford this, but I might
I
have to.
I don't either, but he's $90.
So I can't.
He's 15 inches, and he looks fucking amazing.
You know, I could just, like, kidnap a child and dress him up like that.
Look how good that is!
I know, he's adorable.
I mean, I'd love it.
I love his little bloody fingers.
I do, too. His bloody fingers, his little sack.
Does the sack come off?
I don't know, actually.
Because his head isn't perfectly round, so that
it's
makes me
not.
Think that it might.
It looks like it will, but it literally doesn't say anywhere here.
Huh.
Oh, it says remove his film-accurate hood mask to behold his twisted demonic visage.
Okay, yeah, see?
So, yeah.
That explains why it's not perfectly round.
It's like a 9 points of articulation.
What?
But...
Lame.
Well, see, okay, it does say over 9, but that's...
So 10?
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what Mezco itself says. $9. A non-refundable deposit of $1 is due today. it ships between September and November 2017.
So we all get it before Halloween.
Or it all comes in November 3rd. No. That would suck, but, you know. It does not say on the Mezco website how many points. Oh, it says over 9 as well, so.
It's probably 10. It's probably neck, 2 shoulders, I'm guessing elbows, waist.
Yeah.
That's 6, so maybe ankles and hips.
Yeah, I bet that's right. Or maybe knees and hips.
Yeah, possibly.
Although his legs are so short. Yeah.
So it'd probably be like the same thing anyway.
But he still looks really fucking great. I love the 15 inches is actually a little bigger than I would want him.
I think you were holding up about 18, because I feel like 15 is about
Sorry, but I only know 18 inches. No.
Mm-hmm.
We just watched The Greasy Strangler. My sense of proportion is all out of whack.
Totally understandable.
But I'm just saying, like a 9-inch tall Sam would be easier for me to display. 15 inches, pretty. I mean, I don't have like a. My wife does not allow me to have horror toys displayed in the bedroom on fancy pedestals and things like you do.
You know what? It's a good litmus test. If I bring somebody home and they can't stand that there's an 18-inch pinhead looming over them, then they're clearly not supposed to be in my bedroom.
Whereas if they come in, they're like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm horny now. I have such sights to show you.
Yeah, no, that's the response I'm looking for.
Fair enough.
Would you like to open my puzzle box?
Oh, God. Fair enough. If they come in, they're like, are you really into acupuncture? <You're> like,
actually, it's funny. So somebody came over the other day for some hanky panky, and they looked up and they're like, "I'm not wearing my glasses. Is that a giant spider?" So I said, "No, that's the thing."
Oh, nice.
And they said, "What thing?" And they're very, very lucky that they were as smoking hot as they fucking were, because I was about to throw them out on the fucking street.
That's what I was just thinking. I was like, Devin.
Jesus. It's okay. It wasn't a relationship. It was just boning.
Oh, fair enough, then. That's acceptable. They don't have to like good movies and know good movies.
No, yeah,
for sex.
Just, you know, shut up and, you know.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway.
So moving on to shutting up and fucking.
Greasy Strangler? Oh.
No, not quite. There was not very much shutting up in
that
movie.
No, there was like none.
We have two Kickstarter projects that I feel are worth mentioning. Ooh. Both of them are nearing the like 2-week mark on them. There's The Inheritance, which is a film by Zena Wallace and Chris Wallace.
Yay, Chris Wallace! He made the Gremlins!
Yeah, he did. And they're doing a puppet movie that I'm really worried is not going to hit its goal. They need like over $20,000 still.
In 10 days.
In 10
days.
It's
not happening.
But it looks fucking amazing. And if you look up The Inheritance on Kickstarter, you can at least watch the trailer. His daughter's adorable, and he's rad as fuck. And I'd love to see him do it. I just feel like looking at their rewards, I feel like they don't have enough tiers to it. They should have started with a lower amount,
sure,
and then added some stretch goals. And
also, they all
expanded.
Feel like $10-$20 a little over what
they really do.
What I would,
yeah,
you know. And we live in small town Podunk, Idaho.
Yeah.
So minimum wage is super low. Cost of living is super low. We're not rich people out here.
Yeah.
So
digital download is $40.
That's spendy.
And it's a short film, too.
Right, yeah. So, not even a feature.
Yeah, and
I mean, I understand that this is very costly.
Oh my God, they've got
whole
sets built.
They are making everything. They're committed to practical effects.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm not saying it's not worth the money. I'm just saying that we don't really
I can't afford the
spare.
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would plop down $40 in a heartbeat just to support it, because I think it looks so amazing.
Right.
But I just...
You don't have $40 for tacos.
If it was $20, I'd go without tacos for a couple days and put it down to get a DVD of it.
You spend $20 in tacos a week?
I have a wife. She loves her tacos.
Yeah, no, that's so true.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
She, like, called you to bring her tacos when I'm out of town.
She calls me to talk you into tacos.
Right,
when you're in town.
Yeah, send him a text and tell him you want tacos. Come on. I go through a lot of... I have a lot of taco money expenditure here. The other one that I do think probably will succeed, although it's a little iffy. They've got 17 days left. There's a board game that Devin pointed to me.
Oh, my God.
Called Ray Guns and Rocket Ships.
Ray Guns and Rocket Ships.
This looks rad as hell.
It looks so cool.
It really fucking does. It's by Scott Rogers, who's done a lot of other games and like design games, stuff. Right? Yeah, he's done some video games and board games. And like, it's got a fucking space werewolf, for fuck's sake.
I was waiting to reveal that, but yeah.
Sorry.
But that was the thing that made me click on
right.
the Kickstarter.
Yeah. Like,
what is this about a space werewolf?
Yeah, I mean, it looks fun as shit. It's for 2 to 4 players. It's sci-fi space opera.
Yeah, it's clearly influenced by all the 1950s serials. But yeah. you play a faction of people in space with these wonderful, like, old-school rocket ships. And you get miniatures, like a captain and then 6 miniatures of your crew.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, crew your spaceships. And there's space battles. And there's, like, a fucking whole storybook with...
Yeah, I thought that was
with sweet. Episodes.
A little Penny Dreadful in there. Yeah.
Oh, it just looks so neat.
It looks fun as shit. There's spaceships and aliens and lizard men.
And a werewolf.
And a werewolf.
Which you only get if you fund the Kickstarter.
Right.
So,
yes.
I mean, that's...
He's a Kickstarter exclusive mercenary. It's a little spendy, again.
It's super spendy. It's about $20 more than I would usually pay for a game like this.
Yeah, like,
it comes with so many printed, full-color, beautiful printed pieces.
Yeah.
Like, everything looks so well-designed. And then all of the miniatures, there's a shit ton.
There is a lot. I have a hard time paying...
29 total.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah, and they're all really detailed, too. They're not just a slapdash, half-assed thing. Like, each of the ships is unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
Each of the character designs are sculpted differently.
Oh, and all of the cards are beautifully painted?
Yeah, the art's gorgeous in it, yeah.
I feel like that's... It looks so just beautifully graphic designed.
Yeah.
Like, I want to lick this. It looks so good.
Well, and it's got, like, different game boards because depending on the ship, you have a different game board that you play your characters in.
Right. I love that all the human ones are pretty traditional and then the alien one is saucer.
Yeah, it's great. Really fucking cool. It's $75 for the game. It's probably worth that, but fuck, I don't have $75.
No, neither.
So if somebody wants to pledge and send us this game...
Or just send me the werewolf, I don't care.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Devin will make up his own game to play with
him. I will
him.
Just sit in bed and, you know, like, yeah. Anyway.
And I do like that the stretch goals, you get them if you pledge the game.
Right, period.
That's great. There's none of this, well, it's an add-on, you got to pay an extra $10 if you want to get the other mercenary, and you can't pay that $10 until you pledge this, but if you pledge ahead of time, we're more likely to get to that.
Right. See, the thing that really like makes me cringe about the $75 asking price is the shipping.
Yeah, it's another like $15 on top. It's
12 to 18.
Yeah.
So that's pushing it towards a $100 game, and I can't.
Yeah, that's exactly my thought, too. Like, I fucking have a really hard time being okay with paying $100 for a game that, like, maybe if I'd, like, gone to SaltCon or somewhere like that and they were playtesting this and I got to actually physically play it, that'll swap me over right there.
Although I do think their video did a really good job of explaining how, like...
Yeah, once I watched it, they did a good job with it.
That's so much fun looking.
But I just... It's easy to make things look fun in a video without knowing, like, what the setup is and stuff. Like,
well, clearly the designer knows his shit.
Yeah, he really does.
So,
like, it doesn't look like it's, like, fucking Arkham Horror where it's going to take you 7 hours to set it up or anything like that.
I know, and the space in between playing it, you have to, like, spend hours relearning how it works.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. It looks super fun. Again, that one's called Rockets and something.
Ray Guns and Rocket Ships.
Ray Guns and Rocket Ships. And that one's got another 17 days.
And when you play it, you have to speak with a transatlantic accent for the entire time.
Which is why I'm never playing this with Devin, see? Because I go into gangster too easy with that.
You
I can't,
think you're Edward G. Robinson.
I can't do it without it, yeah. It's like, right. I can't talk without starting to say C. But yeah, it looks really fun. We will put links to both of those Kickstarters on our little show write-up when I post this on Wednesday. So you can click over to it. Or just search for it if I get lazy and don't do the timestamps or whatever. There's a chance. Because I have to leave for Kansas City on Wednesday. So.
Kansas City. Here I come.
Speaking of coming.
Are we moving into the coming attractions now? Or the coming unattractions? So we watched...
Six Ropes.
Oh, God. Oh, man. So we did a little bit of Prime screaming tonight.
I can't.
And watched The Greasy Strangler. Because the two main characters, Michael St. Michaels and Sky Alobar, are the actors' names. They're not the main characters' names. They're going to be at Mad Monster Party in Arizona, and we are going to be there. And we were like, we need to see this movie because we've seen a little bit of it, but mostly just heard good things about it.
Yeah, I've been excited for this since I saw the first teaser trailer.
And that's all we watched. I watched part of the other trailer that had all sorts of sweet, splotchy, pink, not-safe-for-work blobs. And we were like, all right, this is something we need to see.
This whole movie is one pink, splotchy, not safe for work blob.
Really? Oh, my fucking God. Yes, it is. I will warn you, if you're one of those people that watches things that we talk about without looking into them ahead of time, you really need to be okay with nudity.
Here there be wangs.
There be all sorts of wang, too.
And bum. And boobs and moobs.
Bush, 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 yeah. Bush, bush.
Is it really bush? Because, I mean, it's clearly all fake. So it's Merkins, 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 Merkins.
I just want a big banner that says that now.
Merkins, Merkins, Merkins,
Merkins, Merkins, Merkins.
I feel like that's my patriot cry. Merkins!
This fucking movie, dude. I don't even know how to touch the plot on it.
I wouldn't. It might come off on you.
And fuck. It's gonna leave a mess, certainly.
The plot revolves around a middle to late aged son who lives with his father,
Big Braden,
who's very overbearing.
And Big Ronnie.
Yeah. Big Ronnie's the father and Braden is the son. They seem to make their living doing disco tours.
Disco walking tours.
Walking tours in run-down, abandoned parts of... It's filmed in California.
It was filmed in Los Angeles, but yeah, they're like super vague about it.
Yeah.
It could very well be. There's parts of Los Angeles
disco.
That are that whacked out.
But, so anyway, at the end of... one of the tours, Braden meets this youngish woman.
Nobody in this is young.
No. And I find that delightful. Who is clearly interested in him, and they go on a date, much to the chagrin of his father, who may or may not be the Greasy Strangler. A killer who is covered in grease and kills people by throttling them.
Or doing other things to him, depending, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's true.
He primarily strangles.
Primarily.
Which seems like such an inefficient thing when you're covered in grease.
In grease, yeah. Like, really, how do you get enough grip? But, so, this soon becomes an issue between father and son because Janet, the woman, starts sleeping with the father also.
Yeah, because Ronnie and Janet have no morals at all as far as that's concerned.
Oh my God, it's so strange. And the whole film plays like a strange blend of early David Lynch and John Waters.
Yeah. Yeah, like if those two got together to make a serious sequel to Street Trash.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like just the sexual depravity of Waters and then the strange, jarring, earnest observations of the characters.
And the use of music.
Yeah, oh, the soundtrack, the score makes me so happy.
It's so perfect for this movie.
Oh my God, it's a genre unto itself.
It is. It absolutely is. I don't remember. It's William Hung. Is that who did it?
Hung, yeah.
Yeah, and he's half of a group that I don't remember what it's called, but it's like Get Fucked or something like that.
Oh, really?
The group, yeah.
I was honestly surprised that it wasn't Richard Hung, so.
Yeah. This movie was fun.
Yes. And gross.
It is not going to be everybody's cup of tea by any stretch of the imagination.
Cup of greasy tea. Share some grease tea with me.
If you have serious food repulsion issues, this movie could be very difficult for you. My wife would not have made it past the first breakfast scene.
Fair.
Absolutely not. I mean, she can't handle that. She does not have much of a gag reflex in terms of, like, gross food product stuff. And there's all sorts of gross food product in this.
That's a fact,
like,
Jack.
Some of the most disgusting meals I've ever seen in this movie.
Oh, my God. That bacon. The, yeah.
And dipping the hot dog in the Greek. So big fucking Ronnie likes his food greasy.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean,
Not like diner greasy.
No, like drowning in grease.
Like food is just the physical matter that helps transport the grease into his face.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally dipping bread in grease and licking it off at
off one the bread, point. And then dipping the bread back in for more grease.
He's making his own olive oil in the nude in his bedroom.
Yeah.
He has grease and oils everywhere.
Everywhere.
Little dippy bottles and pourry bottles and fucking God, this movie is not pretty, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah, you will laugh your ass off, but it will leave you feeling oily.
Oh my God, it will. There's nobody in it. Everybody in it gave their, like, full 110%.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shame from anybody in this movie. And I loved that so much. Like, every performance in it is so earnest and just, like, unapologetically dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this movie is... Yeah. I can't.
I know. It's one of those movies that as I was watching it, I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying this. I have so much to say about this, but it's leaving me totally fucking speechless.
Yep.
Like, I couldn't do anything but just stare agape at it.
I feel like gawking is a good word for
it. Yeah.
You gawk at this film. You don't really watch it.
And it is almost voyeuristic.
Oh, it's absolutely voyeuristic.
So gleeful, too. Yeah. And every single scene in the car wash made me laugh.
Oh, God,
the same way every time.
No, it absolutely wallows in its depravity.
Yeah.
In a delightful way.
It does.
I don't feel like it condones any of the things that are going on, but it absolutely delights in portraying them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some great practical effects and some others that aren't so great.
You know what? The CG stuff didn't bother me because it was so schlocky anyway.
It was, yeah. That,
like, there was no pretense of reality. It wasn't like John Wick when it was like, oh, this is supposed to be really bloody and violent, and it's like, it looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
This looks like a cartoon.
Supposed to.
Because it was kind of a cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple of scenes, particularly towards the end, that it was pretty bad. But, like, the very first scene with by the vending machine was pretty good. Yeah. I was surprised at how solid that was.
Yeah, like, when he first, like, pulls away, I'm like, is that CG? It is CG.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah, it really did.
And it was very, like, Warner Brothers cartoon.
Oh, my God, it was.
I loved it.
I was actually worried it was going to be like that the whole time.
Well, and there were moments of that, but it never.
It was just the right amount, I think. Like, it was just enough to be, like a solid guffaw moment kind of thing. And then it would go back to the squicky, greasy, creepy stuff.
One good knee slap before it turns your stomach.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we just got to go straight out and say it. Big Ronnie's fucking gigantic prosthetic penis is on display 80% of the movie.
It's got to be like a 10-inch long red-tipped. He says it looks like the head of a mouse.
Yeah, with his balls and his ears.
Totally, accurate. It looks like some mouse that's been head deep in a bloody carcass.
It's veiny and
hanging down from. It's really well done.
It is.
Like, it's too stiff, so you know it's a prosthetic, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, I'm glad it's a prosthetic.
Honestly, I think it would have been way more disturbing if it had been, like, some silicone floppy thing.
Yeah, if it had actually looked like a very, very real penis.
Yeah.
Instead of just a slightly real penis.
Yeah, it was. It had just the right amount of, like, schlocky cartooniness to it.
Oh, my God.
I think if they'd made it much more realistic, it would have been, like, it would have veered into the uncomfortable instead of the gleefully uncomfortable zone of things.
Yeah. I mean, it was uncomfortable, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, we weren't cuddled up together watching it with joy or anything like that. We didn't watch it in slow-mo or anything.
No.
But yeah, like, fucking Michael St. Michael's, which is a great name.
It is.
Is
sounds like a drag name, honestly.
Just fucking straight up naked in.
Even when he's dressed.
Yeah, right. Speaking of dressed, man, those outfits they had were amazing.
Fucking fantastic. Whoever dressed this film, I'm so impressed.
Yeah, they're vintage-y, thrift shop-y, handmade stuff going on.
Like, I don't know if any of those are actually vintage or if they just sewed new costumes from vintage material, because it looks like it.
The material is not something you could just go and buy, certainly.
No! Where the fuck did they get the shit for those pink sweaters?
No shit.
Like, because they look thick, they look uncomfortable, and they showcase nipples perfectly. I don't know how that works. It's like space science.
I don't either. It was, and every fucking character in this looked like it belonged in that world, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the gentleman standing out by the vending machine in his super weird wrapped underwear that he had on.
Yeah, like over his belly button.
Yeah.
It was so odd.
Oh, it was so great. I recognized one person in this, and that was I think his name in this is literally just the Senegalese tourist, and he's in a few episodes of My Name is Earl.
Oh, okay.
And he's the only guy I actually recognize. I thought I recognized one of the other guys in it. Was it Danny the Crooner?
I think it might have been.
Carl Solomon. Yeah.
Yeah, it was that guy.
And I, like, looking at his stuff, I've never seen him in anything.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I mean, he was in an episode, uncredited.
Oh, he's in the video Dead,
Mars.
Too.
Oh, he is. That's interesting.
Okay. I need to rewatch that, clearly, now that I have
seen all these
people.
Guys from 30 years later.
I really like the video Dead. It's terrible, but it's great.
We can't really say too much more about this movie without spoiling things that...
And it's new enough.
You have to see with your own eyes.
That's so true.
We can tell you all you want to hear about prosthetic giant old man penises, but until you see it for yourself waffling in a car wash breeze.
This is Deeply Dapper Dispatches recommending that you yourself, with your own very eyes, look at prosthetic peni. I'll buy that for $1.
Yeah. Actually, we got it for free.
Huzzah!
Because it's Prime Screaming, baby.
Yeah.
I recommend it. I obviously have to use a sliding scale for this type of movie, but for this type of movie, I enjoyed the shit out of this movie. It was fun as shit. I'm using shit and movie a lot in this sentence. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 8.
Really?
I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, it's not something I'd watch again, necessarily, but it was fun. And the terrible parts were terrible, but they were supposed to be terrible for the most part.
But it wasn't like that shitty kind of sci-fi kind of, oh, we're making this to be bad.
Right, yeah. It was, and like the dialogue was so well written.
Uh-huh, and well performed.
I loved the way they talked. And the ones that weren't the best performers in the world, the way they delivered their lines, like the vendor, was not a good actor.
I thought he was great.
Like this weird level where you're like, I don't know if he's a terrible actor delivering the lines or if he's intentionally delivering the lines in this manner because it fit the world so perfectly.
Right. It's absolutely surreal.
Yeah. So what are you going to rate it?
Eight. An absolute eight.
If the CG stuff towards the end hadn't been quite as blatant as it was, I would probably give it an eight too.
I mean,
it just felt so out of place right at the very end.
I had a theory about that while I was in the bathroom.
While you were doing the greasy strangle?
Oh, no. But I really, 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 really like this movie. And it's I think that there are some things to unpack.
Yeah.
I think it's smarter than it is on its slimy little surface.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really dug it. I think I will probably get a copy, and I think that I will watch it again.
I love the way it handled... See, that's my only problem is I don't feel like I would watch this by myself, like just hanging out. Like if you came over and we were bored and we wanted to watch Street Trash and Greasy Strangler, I would be fucking down in a second to watch it again.
I feel like Blood Diner would be a good...
Blood Diner would be pretty solid, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost a palate cleanser.
I kept on thinking about like a lot of films that I feel like would be great double features with this.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's...
Pink flamingos.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you think about it, there's this, like, this slimy comedy and the schlock horror stuff. And this handles both ends of it so well. But it handles a little bit of that grown man child stuff. It handles... it's just so great. I love that the sexy woman in it isn't handled in a stereotypical way at all.
Well, yeah, let's talk about bodies in this movie, because there aren't no... Like, I mean, even the character they talk about with the, you know, chiseled six-pack.
Yeah!
Nobody is actually... They all have very real bodies.
Yeah, they're all very...
And they're presented as, like, sort of slimy and disgusting, but they're also just real.
Yeah, they feel like actual human beings. And, like... I could see some people being turned off by that, but I fucking adore this movie for that.
I do too.
Like, there's nobody in this that's on film naked to evoke any kind of sexual desire. It's all played for laugh and real feelings and
But not
horror.
Laugh at. I guess some of it is laugh.
Some of it is.
Yeah.
But it's not in a hurtful way.
No. I don't think it's like jeering, like, oh god, look at these, you know, Fatty McFattersons. It's... Oh God! Look at these depraved people, and you know the sickening lifestyle, and all the strangeness.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like it.
Like you said, there's a lot to unpack.
It brings some things down to earth. I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
and it makes the characters more relatable.
Yeah, as much as you want to fucking relate to these guys,
as much as you want to, and I don't think that you want to, but you do anyway, because some of those emotions are really fucking real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though this is hilarious and I didn't stop laughing the entire time, like, I mean, it's talking about some very, very real issues about, you know, parenting and, like, passive aggressiveness, mm-hmm. and desire and
that weird kind of, like... Yeah, like, especially, like, that retarded adulthood where they have not fully matured as an adult yet.
Right.
And yet
and how
they
could he?
Have adult needs and urges, and they don't know how to communicate to people properly.
Right.
Because, I mean, they're bullshit artists. And and that insult is...
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. And it's... I mean, their conversations are... They strike home in some ways, mm-hmm. from being around other people and the mm-hmm. way they talk. But at the same time, it's totally played in this, like, broad comedic farce type of way.
It's super stylized, but it's not super stylized in the way that, like, Gregor Rocky or Joss Whedon
right.
stylized dialogue. It's sort of like they boiled down how ineloquent
yeah.
people are when speaking, really. And just, they fucking nail it.
They
fucking nail it.
They really do. Yeah, they, It's so fucking funny that, like, before we started watching this movie, I was talking about how my grandma used to buy the cheap ends of the bacon, and then she'd just fry them in a pan until she literally had bacon grease, and that's what she would cook her popcorn in. And that's kind of what they did with this, is they took that fatty ass of a pig and boiled it down until they had this thick grease. And that's how people talk. It's this, like, exaggerated, hyper-realistic, hyper-not-realistic way of talking.
Well, surreal, I think. Yeah. I kept on thinking about the surreality, and it is. It exists on some slippery plane above, just above reality.
Yeah.
Like an oil slick on top of water.
Right. Anyway, go watch it. Mm-hmm. I recommend watching it with a friend, with a beer or two, because it's something that I could actually...
Or some Dramamine.
Yeah, no shit. And I do have to say that there's enough real emotion and depravity and sadness in this movie that if you were in the wrong mood sitting down to watch this movie, it could be kind of depressing.
Oh, absolutely.
And it ends kind of cute.
Sort of.
I mean, sort
of. I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
I think the film succeeds, but I have I have feelings about the ending.
Should we do a spoiler section?
No.
Okay.
I didn't think
we should.
I think that would be a mistake.
I think you need to unpack it yourself.
I want people to go see this film.
Yeah.
If they want to.
Yeah. I'm glad we did.
Caveat emptor.
It's so funny. Like, we got together tonight and we weren't sure what we wanted to watch. We knew we wanted to see this before we went to Mad Monster.
Mm-hmm.
But we literally, like, I pulled out a list of, like, 9 films. And all of them are ones I really want to fucking see.
Me too.
And we decided on this one partly just because the actors are going to be at Mad Monster. And now I'm, like, ecstatic about meeting them. I think they would... I'm so excited about meeting them. I think it's going to be awesome.
I feel like I have questions.
Yeah. And so we decided to watch this one, and I'm super glad we did.
Me too.
I thought it was fun as shit. Beyond that, we've been doing other Prime Screaming solo from each other.
Yeah.
Because we fucking haven't seen each other in weeks now at this point. Both of us have seen... are you up through 4 or 5 now?
What's 5?
I don't know. Which one have you seen so far?
The next one I'm going to watch is Star Crash.
Okay, so I just barely started watching Star Crash.
Okay.
So we've seen the first 4 episodes of the new Mystery Science Theater 3000 mm-hmm. series.
So Reptilicus, Time Travelers.
Time Travelers, Avalanche.
Avalanche.
And the Beast of
Hollow Mountain. Yeah.
So I am really surprised at how much this feels like the original Mr. Science Theater 3000.
It so does. It's like coming home.
Yeah.
Except all the jokes are new and relevant.
It really fucking throws me off when they make like a Game of Thrones joke.
Yeah, right?
It's so weird. Like, it fucking freaks me out. Like, I'm like I'm so set in my head that this is from 12 or 15 years ago or whatever.
Well, and they don't, like, abandon old jokes either. Like, they make mention of all sorts of things that I enjoy.
Yeah, all sorts of clever, like, old 50s movies jokes. Uh-huh. And, yeah, it's just, like, it's just so weird to me because I'm so used to watching the old ones
uh-huh.
that when they make a modern joke, I'm like, what? I like the new host a lot.
I'm in love with Jonah.
He's great.
It took me, I don't know how many seasons to warm up to Mike. Mm-hmm. I took to Jonah in the first 30 minutes.
He's so fucking charming. Like, he's charming, but he's bumbly and cute.
Right.
And he's super funny.
Oh, he's witty as shit.
I don't know how
snarky.
I felt at first about the new bot voices.
Crow and
but
Tom Servo.
Once they're actually riffing...
You don't notice.
You don't notice.
Yeah, I didn't
it's
either.
Just during the dumb skits, which I've never really liked anyway.
You know, the only voice that actively bothers me is Gypsy.
I hate Gypsy in this.
I do too.
I've never liked Gypsy. I've always disliked Gypsy.
I've always been fine with Gypsy, but, like, she's, you know, she's in and out usually.
But she butts in at the dumbest times. It's literally like, well, we've got to use a Gypsy voice in this episode, so I'm going to have her drop a suitcase. I don't know what it is she's fucking
sure
doing.
I'm not sure what it is. She drops it off and then she picks it up.
Yeah, and makes some dumb quip and then leaves.
Right.
And I don't like Tom flying. Although it's been effective at a couple of
scenes. It has, yeah.
I think it's a silly gimmick.
But they don't overuse it.
They used it perfectly in Avalanche.
Yeah. Yep, agreed.
That might have been my favorite part about Avalanche, actually. I had a hard time with Avalanche. Some of the jokes were really funny, but it was so sad seeing Mia Farrow and Rock Hudson look so rough.
Yeah.
In such a shitty movie.
And that movie's terrible.
It's fucking
it's
terrible.
It's one of those movies that's actually so bad that the riffs might not help.
Yeah. Yeah, like it... I think I had to take, like, four breaks while watching that one. I just could not sit and watch the whole thing through.
Oh, I just got drunk.
That would have worked, too. Yeah, that would have worked well, actually. I loved the fucking Sasquatch one.
The Beast of... No.
No.
I
don't know what it's fucking called.
Wait. Oh, so we missed one. Yeah.
Did we miss one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because time travel. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. What
first
was
movie.
Called?
The first movie was Riptalicus, which was fun.
I loved it.
Right back to form.
Yep.
I think it was the perfect movie for them to do
it
first.
It was great, yeah. Well chosen.
Yeah.
And surprisingly gory, which was refreshing.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't have this on the old one. This
yeah,
is great.
Yeah, it really
like,
surprised
it's not
me.
A gory, gory film, but there's gore in it.
Yeah. And I liked Reptilicus quite a bit. I thought they were really funny in it. The second one, what the fuck was it called?
Yeah, it was like a boy in his fucking Sasquatch.
Cry Wilderness.
God. That was so bad it was good, though.
It was. Like,
When it ended, I found myself wanting to know more about the film, and I tried looking it up, and there's no information.
Yeah, there's nothing.
It's like, where did they find all of these animals? Why is there so much actual real animal abuse in this?
It's like the raccoon scene. Oh, my God, dude.
Seriously, he's abusing that animal.
Oh, my God. Like, and, like, there's so many weird stock scenes of just animals standing around looking creepy.
Yes.
I mean,
but a lot of the stuff isn't stock, too. And, like,
yeah.
They're just walking. There's fucking wolves and tigers and eagles, and they're all, like, in the same scene.
So
like,
funny.
What the fuck? Oh, and the other thing that, like, really depressed me was the scene where the guy unnecessarily wrestles the bear, and it's apparent that the bear has had all its teeth yanked out.
Yeah, that did make me sad.
That was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, not to mention the, you know, whole Indian racist stereotypes.
That was hilarious.
I love that they fucking called the movie on it, though.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, that's racist. And, yeah, it was.
It was. It was terribly so, but it was just, it made that movie funny as shit, though.
Oh, yeah. No, like, everything about it is uncomfortable.
Oh, my God. The how often the kid just runs away and doesn't listen to things. I loved that movie. It was so goddamn funny.
That was pretty good. It's not my favorite so far, but...
What's been your favorite?
Beast of Hollow Mountain.
Beast of Hollow Mountain's amazing.
I didn't stop laughing from minute one. It was unbearably
Speaking of
great.
Racist.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. So much horrible brown face.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
and
God.
The dubbing over
oh,
it.
Jesus, the horrible accents.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck.
But, man, the lead was so fucking charming.
He had
that goofy smile, and he was just like, this movie's fun.
Clark Gable.
Yeah.
In the irritating, I'm a white man and therefore capable, and I will save every one of you.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Oh, but the jokes were just on point
and
relentless.
The beast itself.
I was so happy. With the wiggle tongue.
So.
What the?
I don't know,
but I loved it.
So
I loved it.
Funny. It looked like he had like an angry fruit roll up in his mouth.
He did.
Oh my God, it was just.
Oh, it made me so happy.
So funny.
Oh.
Yeah. They're fucking killing it.
Oh, they're killing me.
Even Avalanche, which was definitely the low point so far for me, but like it was weird seeing Time Travelers, which was funny. I enjoyed it. And then having the same guy in Avalanche really threw me off. That was so weird. It's like this weird continuity in it.
When they first pointed that out, I thought they were joking.
Yeah, I did too, yeah. Time Travelers was really fun, though.
I really liked it. Like, I had seen that before, and I really enjoyed it as a kid. I'd seen it a couple of times.
Some of their little, like, on-screen special effects in that are good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they lay the android down, and then they take the head off all in one shot.
That whole movie, then... I never noticed this as a kid, but all the special effects are just magic tricks.
Yeah, they're so perfect, too.
It's great. It's like they knew somebody who did magic, and they built a movie around the effects, and it works.
It really does. Like, that movie's Like, the plot's terrible in it, but it's really fun.
I actually like it. I think the weakest part is, you know, the techno babble first 5 minutes where it's people literally doing nothing but saying words that don't mean anything.
Yeah, yeah. But it's really fun.
The rest of it, I don't know. I really dig it.
Yeah.
And it's another Ib Melchior who did Reptilicus. And he actually, he's had his fingers in a lot of really good things.
He really has. I think he died fairly recently.
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Like, yeah, so like I wonder if that's like how they unlocked the rights to it or something.
I don't know.
But yeah, I like his stuff.
I do too. Like, legitimately, without riffing.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the next one both of us are watching is Star Crash, which we've both seen.
Oh, I've seen it so many fucking times.
I used to have a fucking huge crush on Carolyn Monroe in that.
That's fair.
She's gorgeous and ripped in it, man. Like, she's got some killer abs.
I actually like Star Crash. The only character that irritates me is the permy-haired android.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Oh, he's
awful. The crazy hillbilly accent of the cop. The robot cop.
Oh, yeah.
He's got Boss Hogg accent going on.
Yeah, that's
so weird.
Pointless.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I understand where they're coming from because that was a thing at the time. But Jesus.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I'm
genuinely excited about hearing
this. I'm excited to hear them rip it the fuck apart because I do not love that movie.
Now, how do you feel
anyway
about the framing sequences?
Good.
You like them?
I do.
First of all, I really like the opening sequence. Mm-hmm. I like that they make him relive it each time.
Every time.
I think that's really funny.
It's so funny.
I love Patton Oswalt.
I do too.
I find his little commercial break patter so charming.
Moon 13, the moon!
It's so good. He's like, now you're watching this as it happens. It's so good. Like, that might be one of my favorite parts of the show, actually.
I really enjoy that he's TV's son of TV's friend.
Yes, that's really
like,
funny.
And the hair is spuff.
Yes.
He looks so good.
And, I just forgot her name.
Felicia Day.
Felicia Day is really great.
She took me a couple episodes to warm up to.
Yeah, I did too. Like, I love her.
Which is fair, because it took me a while to warm up to Pearl, too.
Honestly, I've never loved Pearl that much.
I like Mary J. Bell now. And, like, spoiler, when she shows up, I was like, oh my god, it's Pearl!
Yeah, that was cool. I really enjoyed that.
With Bobo and Brain Guy.
Yeah, you're right.
Fuck.
Yeah, and the cameos have been really solid so far.
Fucking on
fucking
point.
NPH.
Seriously,
that's
been a highlight for me. And that song, if I had that on a CD, I'd probably.
There's been multiple songs. The rap they did is so good.
Every single one of the songs.
Yeah.
Like, even the little rap that they did, not the monster rap, but the rap that they did during the riff, I'm like, that's really good, too. This is, they've got it going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think Mike or Joel could have ever done that.
No, I don't think so either. No, I think the three of them work really, really well together.
Uh-huh.
And their rapport just seems really solid. Like, he interacts with the robots really effectively.
He does.
The puppeteering on them is really good. I've never liked the interstitial pieces. Like, I've never thought they were that funny.
They've never been my favorite either.
I just, every time I'm just like, get back to the fucking movie!
Right.
But these ones are fun. Like, I actually enjoy them.
There's only
enough.
Been a couple that I've been like, eh.
Yeah.
But most of them, like, I'll be on the edge of my seat smiling like a little demon.
I legit, like, I feel like, okay, guys, you've gotten enough use out of that laser burner. You can get your tax rebate on it. You don't have to use it in every single episode.
Yeah.
It's just a little too much of a gimmick for me.
It is weird to see it pop up in every episode.
It's so fucking prominent that I almost expect a brand to pop up on it. They're like, with our Stargator laser cutter. But, you know, like, maybe that was a Kickstarter thing. I don't know. Did they, like, if we hit $75,000, we buy a laser cutter?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It's so weird. But
I guess at least they're getting used out of it.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, we can't claim that this is a tax write-off unless we use it a certain number of times.
At least all of the illustrations have been really good.
They have been great. Yeah. Like, whoever does their illustrations for those are really good. Like, the Cry Wilderness one I thought was super awesome.
Right. Which was it? Which one had the heads on springs so they were all bobbleheady?
I think that might have been that one where they were putting them on the mountain and moving them.
Oh, maybe it was. Okay.
Because it was like the old Incan amusement park thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
anyway, they put a lot of work into it.
They
obviously.
Did.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I... Definitely worth watching.
If I have any complaints at all, it's that we don't get enough Felicia Day and Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
I feel like we get considerably less of them than we used to get.
Yeah,
enough,
yeah. Know? And I don't know if that's because they aren't cutting as much of the actual movie out.
But they're on Netflix. They don't have a time limit.
But I wonder if they're formatted with an idea of playing them elsewhere, too. Possibly.
Well, I mean, they certainly have commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Which I think it would have been a mistake not to.
I do, too.
Because it's such a part of the show.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it would have felt really off.
Even if you were taping them off of TV and cutting out all the commercial breaks, you still get the bumpers.
Yeah.
Which I may have done. Dude, the episodes say keep circulating the tapes. I felt like it was fine. It's funny that they've replaced that with keep circulating the URL.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty
Come
awesome.
On, guys. Not the same thing.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think it's great so far.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely looking forward to the next 10 episodes. That's fucking great, dude.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's so many.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't expect for that to happen. And I hope that there's going to be a season to follow.
I do, too. I feel, from what I've seen in terms of, like, viewers and that kind of thing, I've heard that they've been getting great results. So I would hope that they do, because it's...
Well, I know people were excited about it. No less than 3 different people messaged me on the day that it came out.
That's amazing.
Prefacing, you probably already know this.
Yes.
But...
Yeah. You're like, I've already seen one. No.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. But I'm like our friend Jody, she waited until the sun went down. I did the exact same thing.
I love her.
We
should try and get her on to talk about some of these episodes via
Seriously.
Skype. Because she's the biggest MST3K fan we know.
We should do it just to hear her laugh, because her laugh is great.
It is, absolutely.
She has one of my favorite laughs.
Like, she's watching one a night, and so she's spacing it out. So I think we should try and get her on here and Skype with her about some of the later ones.
I'm gonna have to catch
up. Yeah, we'll have to find time to watch some. We are both going to be in Crypticon.
Yay!
In 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. We'll be in Seattle for Crypticon.
Hey, Seattle! Woo!
Yeehaw! We are on table 122, if I remember correctly, which is another corner again. Yeah, 122 at Crypticon. It's a pretty great location again. I'm excited about the new location that they're in. There's all sorts of Romero alumni there, which is going to be super exciting.
So we're not by the airport anymore?
We're by the airport, but we're in a larger area.
Okay.
In a different hotel.
Okay.
So, yeah, it should be a lot more vendors.
Cool.
I feel like the Artist Alley is not going to be as Redhead Stepchild as it was at the last one.
Yeah, seriously.
So I think it'll... I think
it's gonna
be a
great show. I
feel
like they only got
any
foot traffic because they were by the door.
I agree. Like, the food was on the other side of them, and that's the only reason.
Oh, right.
But
I never even saw the food. I didn't.
It would not have suited you well.
It wouldn't have,
so
I don't care.
It was like hamburgers and hot dogs. However, I am going to miss how cheap they were. No, they were not. Actually, they were, like, flame-broiled and not greasy at all. The strangler would have been very disappointed.
This is wrong. Or this isn't right.
I need more grease. Yeah. After that, I will be in Cheyenne, Wyoming, for Cheyenne Comic Con. And then Devin and I will be at a twofer down in Arizona.
Woo-hoo!
We're going to go to Mad Monster Party and then Phoenix Comic Con.
Do you have the tables for either of those table numbers?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, they haven't announced
Let me know
either
when you do.
Of them. Okay.
Okay.
I
Thanks.
Can do that.
Yay.
I wasn't going to just leave you wandering the hall looking for me. So if you guys live down in that area, that's the first time we've ever been down in Arizona for a show. You lived there for a while.
6 years total.
So we're going to be excited about being down there and checking it out. I've never been to Arizona.
I just want to show you all the things and we won't have time.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got like 5 days between the two shows or something like that.
Not enough time.
No, not enough. But
we'll
we're excited.
Hit Film Bar.
Yes, absolutely. I want to hit Film Bar hard.
Yes.
Like a greasy strangler. Oh.
Wouldn't that be... Never mind.
6 streamers.
Ropes.
Ropes. Do you have any pick of the pod this week?
Sort of. So the Ravenettes new album, newish album dropped today, and I got that in the mail.
Right on.
I was kind of excited about it. It's not really new because last year they announced that they would record a new song every month and release it every month, and you could subscribe and like download it and whatever. But they also released videos with the songs,
so right?
You could hear every single track.
Yeah,
which is great. Yeah, good on them. So I was excited when they announced that it would be released on a physical format.
Right.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I kind of like physical media.
No, never.
Yeah. So I picked up the vinyl and. It's a mixed bag, and I feel like, of course it is, because they recorded one song as a single every month, so of course it's not a cohesive album.
Right.
On the other side, like, you do have all of these different facets of the Ravenettes that show up, so, like,
that's cool.
You get, you know, soft and slow pretty Ravenettes, you get hard and fuzzy loud Ravenettes, you get weird techno glitchy Ravenettes, it's all there. But yeah, it doesn't really hold up as an album.
They Might Be Giants did something like that too.
Did
I got they? For their fan club thing that they did, and it was all their Dial-A-Song stuff, and it was just so like all over the place, which They Might Be Giants is anyway,
sure.
But particularly on this, because like some of them were like 48 seconds long, and the tone when they release an album, it's an album. It's got a little bit of a theme to it. Sometimes the songs make sense or they flow better. Whereas this, it was very jarring to listen to it straight through because it was
disjointed.
Just like, ugh, I don't know if I like this song right now because the song before it feels so out of place with this.
Right, and there is an art to making an album or even a playlist.
There is, yeah.
Oh.
Huh, right on.
But I guess the thing that annoys me the most is that, so I got it on vinyl, and there's no download card, which, you know, no big deal. My record player is connected to my computer. I can, you know,
burn
do whatever.
It, yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to skip a track on a record.
Yeah, fair enough.
Unless you have a very keen eye and good lighting.
Yeah.
Good lighting doesn't happen in my house.
No, I don't. I'm not aware of you owning any light bulbs, actually. Don't you still just use candles?
Well, I've switched to the electric candles.
Oh, nice. With the flicker?
Yeah.
And then that one cauldron that's got the light under it with the cloth that flickers fancily.
I hate those.
I know, I do too.
They're so tacky.
They're so chintzy.
Fuck.
Well, I think I've mentioned my pick of the pod on the show previously, but we just finished watching the first season of Legion.
Ah, I hate you.
You might hate me, but I love that fucking show so much. It is possibly some of the most sublime 8 episodes of television I've ever seen.
It's only 8 episodes,
It's only 8 episodes.
Wow.
The first episode's super long. It's like an hour and 15 minutes. You've seen the first one, right?
Yeah, I watched the first one.
Dan Stevens is so fucking amazing in this show. I think the ending is... The ending's got a little bit of weakness to it, and it's got some great ambiguity. They definitely pay homage to the comics,
cool.
Which is really great. If you know the comics and the backstory, it all clicks really well. And it's got such a great vibe to it, and it's gorgeous.
Well, I think I mentioned when I saw it with my friend who has never touched an X-Men comic. Like, I dragged her to the first X-Men movie, and she hates me for it, and, like, gives me shit about it to this day. But we watched Legion together, and she enjoyed it.
It's good.
It's good.
It does not feel like a superhero show.
Well, it's not really.
It's not. But it's got some aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do some cool little nods. They use the word mutant, which is great.
Yeah. Like, been a while since we've heard that one, huh?
Yeah. And Dan Stevens is amazing in it. He's so fucking charming and different and unique, and I love the woman that plays his love interest, whose name I've totally forgotten now, but she's very different. Like, she's not built like a typical Hollywood starlet is, and she's...
I really like how they deal with her inability to be touched.
Yeah.
Like, as a psychological thing, not, you know, like, rogue.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, it's really well handled. Their relationship is really well handled.
Yeah, it really is. Like, that scene with the pillow is so charming.
Oh.
And they...
Yeah. I really want to see the rest of this.
The guy that does that, that does the show, does Fargo, too. He's the showrunner on both of
really?
Them.
Really?
And Fargo is a really unique TV series because it's three separate seasons that are anthology style, where, like, the first one takes place in 1979 or something like that. And then the other one takes place in the 80s. And the current one that's coming out takes place in 2003. And, like, they don't even necessarily take place in the same town. And they each tell a really gorgeous, cohesive story each
Are they all
season.
In that, like, area of the Midwest?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so, like the first one is super interesting. It's a very dark, very Fargo-esque story. I've only seen the first couple episodes of the second season, but it looks like it's going to be the same tone the whole way through. It's got Bruce Campbell playing Ronald Reagan in a couple of the episodes.
I feel like that's actually really good casting.
From what I've seen, it's fucking perfect, actually.
Okay.
And then the newest season, which either just came out or is just starting to come out, stars Ewan McGregor playing two different brothers.
Yeah, you totally would.
And it looks really trippy as shit, but it looks great.
I've heard nothing but good things about the show. There's only so much time in the day. You
know? Right. And that is one of the things I love about Legion is that it is just that 8 episodes.
Right. That's what I love about British TV series.
Yeah,
that, you know,
right.
Like, short little series, you know, and if it ends there, then it ends there. And
it did kind of kill me watching Sherlock, though, because it was an hour and 40 minutes each episode.
Right, instead of episodes you get, like, 4 full-length films, which I think
I'm
is
okay
great.
With,
but
yeah.
I still haven't seen them all. And there's, what, like, 12?
Yeah, I have a lot easier time dedicating myself to sit down and watch. My dog is snoring horribly loudly.
Yeah, it's cute, though.
It is cute. I have an easier time to be like, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch an hour of this, rather than, oh, I'm going to sit down and watch 2 hours of something. So, even though I often watch, like, 3 hour
long episodes. Yeah, exactly. See, I hear this complaint all the fucking time. People are like, oh, I can't watch a 2 hour movie, but I'll watch 16 episodes of a half hour series. I don't know. I'm not that way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can sit down and watch 1 2-hour movie, or I can sit down and watch, like, 2 half-hour episodes, and then I'm done.
See, but for me, part of my problem, too, is, like, television shows, not with Legion. I literally sat down and watched each episode. But, like, I've been watching Hell on Wheels just because I think it's interesting. I like the cast.
Yeah, not
the but best. It's about the building of the Union Pacific Railroad across the West.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a Western, and it's got some great casting in it. It's something I literally just put on while I'm doing shit. It's not like me sitting down and watching it. So I'll watch like 8 episodes in a day, but fuck if I could tell you which one ended and where they go kind of thing. But it's because it's something I can just kind of put on in the background and let it play. Whereas a movie, I have a harder time with that because I want to sit and watch the arc and
See,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I cannot do it. I cannot have something playing in the background if it's visual. So
yeah, you and Tom are terrible about that. It's so funny.
I can't.
Like, I was excited that I got my TV moved over so I can draw while I'm watching TV now. But yeah, it's...
Thank God for radio serials. Otherwise,
yeah.
I'd have nothing.
I actually have a hard time drawing while I listen to radio serials.
You're so
I get
weird.
Into the story. Like, I can drive while I listen to them, but I can't draw. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know, man. that's my pick's Legion.
Okay.
But Fargo's an addendum to that pick because both of them are excellent. Do you have any shame and tells this weekend?
No, I almost bought a car today, but it didn't happen.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of car?
I have my eye on this 1988 Nissan 300ZX.
Nice. That's a Devon car.
It's so it's got a T-top and a V6.
You always want cars that I wouldn't fit in very well.
Sorry.
We're like, okay, we'll take Devin's car for a beer run. And I'm like, oh, shit. I have to somehow fit into this tiny little
car. I'm going
to
touch your leg a lot while I'm shifting.
I'm like, I can get anything off the back window or the front window at the same time if you need it.
You have it so much easier than Rob did, because when he got in my Geo Metro.
Yeah, our friend Rob's taller than I am, I think. Yeah.
That poor man. It was always a miserable experience for the both of us.
Well, and he used to drive fucking boats. So, I mean, he would like a... What was that? What was Asgard? That
the
was
big gray thing?
Yeah. It was like a city block long. Yeah. And like he drove it off a cliff and it could still have driven.
Yeah.
I guess that's our episode then.
Hey.
No shame and tell. I almost bought an RV, which we decided against, finally.
Oh.
We were gonna use that as my con vehicle, and we started thinking about the shows I do and how many of them are in bigger cities as we're starting to do larger shows.
And driving that around a bigger city than
sucks. So those shows I'd be taking my regular vehicle anyway. And so we're like, you know what, I'm just gonna have to get used to getting hotel rooms and be okay with that. Which, they balances out in the long run, but the RV was a cool idea because the smaller shows that I do, I wouldn't have to justify the hotel room for these little shows. And it would make it easier for me to be like, yeah, I'll go do that one in Helena, Montana. Why the fuck not? I'll just sleep in my car. But it's getting hard for me to sleep in my element very comfortably because we have so much product now.
Well, to be fair, if you're going to fucking drive an RV to a small show, you're going to pay as much in gas as you are for a hotel room.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the reasons that we shied away from it. And the other was that realistically, from a budget standpoint, a new RV is like fucking $30,000.
Jesus Christ.
They're a house. When you take a loan out, you're literally taking out a house loan. Which means you get better interest rate, but it's a fucking obscenely expensive vehicle. But you can get like a 1981 for like $6,000 or something like that. But
you need to get an Airstream.
It doesn't have the reliability. Towing a vehicle is not any easier than actually driving a vehicle, though. Think about these parking lots we've gotten into and me trying to back an Airstream into unload.
Yeah, all right.
Fucking nightmare. I tried it with the Scamp, and it did not work. Anyway, con life. Mm. if you'd like to see us, as we said, I will be at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City this coming weekend. Devin and I will be at Crypticon after that.
Crypticon!
Oh, no. He discovered a sound effect, folks. after that, I will be in Cheyenne, Wyoming for the Cheyenne Comic Con.
The guy at the beer store, when I handed him my debit card, like, I wasn't even thinking about this, but I handed him my debit card and he took it and I went... And while he's running the card, it's like, with complimentary sound effects.
Nice. That was when you were checking out with Snape at the wine shop.
Seriously.
And then we'll be at Mad Monster Party in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Fucking Snotsdale. I wish they were still having it at the hotel that they did a couple years ago.
You don't live next door to it, so it wouldn't do you any good.
Well, yeah, but I hate Snotsdale and everything about it.
Ah, fair enough. Except Mad Monster Party, right?
Well, clearly. But we won't be near to anything cool.
No, but we'll be near to Mad Monster Party.
Yeah.
We'll be near to the Pinhead Experience.
Okay, fair.
We need nothing more than the Pinhead Experience.
And there's
Devin.
A couple breweries over there I know about.
So. Oh, there we go then.
All right, fine.
There we go.
Whatever.
If you'd like to get a hold of us not in person, you can go to www.deeplydapper.com. for links to all our social media, or you can just look up Deeply Dapper on websites-a-rama. Devin is occasionally on Lost_Horrors on Twitter. LostHorrors.com is sadly no longer with us.
Yes, but now we have Robot Paintbrush.
Yes, Robot Paintbrush is your new site.
That's mostly for work.
Yeah, are you going to post anything but just art updates
on
there?
I really don't ever have to go there unless you're trying to hire me.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
if you want to hire a fine designer or someone to watercolor an 80s picture.
Yeah, right.
Devin is your man, and you can go to robotpaintbrush.com.
I take commissions. So
yeah. You know,
whatever.
Why not? We also can be reached via the Facebook or Instagram. Oh, you're on Instagram
Yeah.
somewhat regularly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What's your username over there?
Devin's Ego.
Devin's Ego. And I'm Deeply Dapper over there, too. We have a fourth Kickstarter active right now. We are doing a series of enamel pins based on classic Sideshow advertising banners. Right now, we've hit the first goal. We're on our way to our second goal, which is a custom backing card. We have two more goals beyond that that add pins to the Kickstarter. So this is awesome. This is our first time we've done multiple pins, and it's the first time we've done a shorter time frame on it. Mm. We're only running it for 16 days.
Oh, that is
short. So you got to get on it quick. We started looking at it.
Pledge now and be one of us. One of us.
One of us.
We accept you. One of us.
I love circus stuff, and I was like, you know what, let's do some fun Sideshow stuff. And so, like, we got the Alive pin and Nature's something oddities. Nature's Unique Oddities. I don't know. I designed them. I don't remember them.
Jesus.
But they should be really fun. We're offering them in, the classic Sideshow colors, or you can get them in the gold metal with black enamel, so you can have your classy version if you want something.
I'm a classy freak.
Yeah. Ocula's on its way. In enamel pin form. The movie's still a ways out. I think we still have the one scene written so far. If that.
The one act.
One act, my bad. I haven't even read the whole thing yet.
Oh, Lord.
You wrote it and then turned it into your class, and I haven't read it yet.
Yeah,
we need to work on that in Arizona.
Probably. I'll be too busy.
Fuck you.
There are so many soft tacos I need to be eating.
I'm okay with that then. Fuck you, Ocula. We're eating soft tacos.
It's fucking A. Crescent Ballroom, here I come.
Beyond that, we also have our Patreon going. We have one patron who has generously donated $1 a month, considering I haven't updated anything yet.
Thanks, Naomi.
Naomi, you're awesome. We appreciate your faith and the fact that I'll eventually get stuff on there and updated. I think I've taken on too many things.
What?
I know.
Surprise.
Yeah, we've decided that my wife, Lindsay, you may be hearing from her a little more in online correspondence stuff. Previous to this, she's mostly just been doing her writing, but she's kind of hit a spot right now where she's not so much tired of writing as she's just wants to take a little bit of a break from it and do some world building for her next book. And so she's going to take over, like she's doing the monthly newsletter, and she's started booking my hotel rooms for cons.
That's cool.
And she's doing some of the social media updating and stuff, which means you'll probably get a lot more puppy pictures than I've been doing.
I'm sure people are complaining.
Yeah,
about
I'm
that.
Sure they'll hate that. But if you see something that's not necessarily, doesn't sound like I wrote it, it's probably my wife. She's helping me out because I'm kind of burning myself out a little bit. I've got a project I'm working on with somebody that I'm excited about doing a project with, but I can't talk about it right now. But that's kind of running behind. I've got all sorts of other artwork that I'm doing.
Oh, Frel, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's this big space that I need to fill in, and I just haven't gotten there.
got a far distance to travel.
The scope of it is just really awesome, though. Jesus Christ. I think this is the end of our episode.
Yeah, I think so.
For this week. Next week, I have no fucking clue what it's going to be. It'll either be our Planet Comic Con con report, or it might be the Dune episode, because we actually have that banked right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully, as long as I'm somewhere that has internet and can post things, we won't have a dead week coming up, but it might be a lot of con reports. I'm going to try and get the two of us in for some interviews with people so that it's not just us talking about what soft tacos we ate. But I make no promises.
You haven't lived until you've had Crescent Ballroom's soft tacos, just saying.
There you go. In 3 weeks or so, we are going to live. Or I'll live for the first time ever.
Yes. Yep. You might sweat a lot. I don't know.
You know how much of a wuss I am.
I know.
Man. Have a good night, everybody.
See you next Wednesday.
I got so babbly at the end there.
Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. You're listening to Deeply Dapper Dispatches with Chris and Devin. We'll see you next Wednesday.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
D-U-L-L-S-H-I-T. New word. A-R-T-I-S-T. Spells bullshit artist. I say again, bullshit artist.
In a city where corruption rules the streets, only one man can stop the serial killer known as the Blood Bandit. James Kurt, a former police officer turned private investigator, must race against the clock to stop the madman before he achieves his ultimate diabolical goal. When JK's brother Alex is thought killed in the line of duty and mysteriously returns with no memory of his past life, the stakes are raised even higher. Enigma, the comic book series from Quad M Productions, written and illustrated by TJ Damon, with colors and effects by Jason Vickers. Enigma. Order your copy at quadmproductions.com today.